The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's that time of the early morning that we look at affairs of business, affairs of economics, and everything that affect our bread and butter. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. And this is a platform that we do not only discuss business issues, but we also engage you. We also encourage constructive criticism, and we are indicating to you that the days and time are moving, and you need to ask yourself a question to say, what have you done, what are you doing, and also what is on your plate today. You know, there is a saying to say, there is no better place, there is no better time, and there is no better moment than now. Whatever you're going through, whatever happy moment or sad moment, this is the only better place, better time, and better moment than ever. And the question that you should ask yourself is that, how do you move forward? How do you look at the game? And also, how do you change what need to be, changed? Because one thing that we also are learning as we are growing up is that things do not really change on their own. It's how you react to the situation. It's how you deal with issues. And also how you can be able to accept the season of life, because sometimes you can be sitting there to say, no, I'm waiting for things to change. Time can pass, yes, but things are changed by people, and you are the only actor in your life. And the other thing also that we also need to understand, and also we need to advise each other, is that as we are always saying, to say, life is not about good cards given to you, but it's how you play what you have, and also how you move forward. So welcome to Early Morning Scoop from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. And this is our platform. We'll be able to look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening at the global platform, and also what is happening at home, what is happening in our country, how we have adjusted to that transition, particularly the transition of the change in the price of oil. You also understand that there are people who have felt the pain. Majority of people have felt the pain, but you can also be able to see that there are people who are also able to see that, no, you know, it's just life. Economy is man-made. We have survived drought. We have survived pandemics. We have survived war. And the economy changing, the price of oil is like any other thing in life. And understand also that life is not going to end, or did not start and ending with Iran and the USA. Remember that empires can come and go, but we can also ask ourselves a question to say, how do we move forward? So our first news for this morning is to look at issues of migration, especially from the side of North Africa. It was stated that 19 migrants found dead by Italian Coast Guard. They stated that the bodies of 19 migrants were recovered from inflatable boats south of the island of Lampedusa on Wednesday by Italian Coast Guard, and that was indicated by AFP. On top of that, it's also stated that 58 other people, including 5 children, were found alive during the rescue in early hours on Wednesday. And the other thing that is also, we need to look at this news, is that who are these people who are trying to get into, Europe, who are trying to get into Italy? We'll be able also to understand that majority of these people are coming from Africa. And it's stated that that route that is going to Lampedusa, it's a key leading point for immigrants crossing Mediterranean Sea from North Africa, and which many dying trying that dangerous zone. And some of these, or majority of these people, actually, are from countries such as Libya, Senegal, and also other countries in the north, and also eastern part of Africa. Now, in the context of migration, particularly when majority of the people are coming from Libya, the question that we should ask ourselves is that what can we learn from this? Because historian and researchers have indicated that the worst thing that happened to Libya is not colonialism, it's not the coup of 2011 that ousted Gaddafi. It's also indicated that it's not about the unguarded wealth, but it's the people. It's the people that were not able to see that the help that they needed was already home. The help that they needed was already home, not from external factors, not from external, not from international investors, not from somebody from outside. And it also teaches a lot to say why countries such as Libya, after they outset their leader, they are going down and they are suffering, and people are calling and asking to say, can you take us back before 2011? And that is exactly what is happening. But the question also that we should ask ourselves, if we are speaking about what we need to learn from this case, so the question that every Namibian should ask himself, to say, if we are saying we are friend to all and enemy to none, do we really have genuine countries that come to Namibia and saying they want to help Namibia? Do you really have all those good friends that they can come and say, we just love Namibian people, we are going to build them schools, we are going to build them, projects, we are going to assist them with green hydrogen and oil because they are good people? Do you really think that is a true case? You must be able to understand that there is nobody who can come and help us than our own people, because the situation of Libya is indicating to us that people, countries, are not necessarily there to help you. They are for their own interest. Where you are busy fighting each other, people are taking out oil. Where you are busy fighting each other, people are taking out diamond. Where you are busy fighting and killing your brother and sister, people are there also taking out the resources. That's why it's a very good lesson to learn to say how many of genuine help are coming from outside. Yes, there are mutual interest, and that is business, that is trading. But we cannot say help is coming from outside. And a lot of countries in Africa have seen that to say this thing of regime change and regime change, which have been pushed, put countries in worst situation where people thought somebody will come and help you. But you find yourself in a very difficult situation. If you look at either it's online or, recent polls that is happening, for example, in Iran, you realize that people have really changed their mind and views to say we thought the help was coming, but this is not the help that we have asked. And it's not me. Go and look at the statistic online. Look at how people are reacting, even those who were pro, regime change, because they realize to say it's more difficult to accommodate somebody who says he's going to help you than also accepting that you need to solve problems at home. This lesson can apply in a country, can also apply in life, can also apply in life. And those of you who are expert with love affairs can also apply to say, can really help come from outside? Can external factors really be the assistance? But, you need to look in that case and also realize that it's only between you and the person that you know very well that can be able to solve that issue. And can apply also to any other institutions to say, in most cases, people come in, but people, they are focusing on themselves. And it's also a nature of life, because what is happening in Libya, even during the deadliest war in the world, people are still leaving Africa, try to find ways in Europe, because understand that the environment where they are, situation was made worse, not by anybody, but also them accepting that the assistance was coming. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to move forward, particularly looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Innovate staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 28 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here till the hour of 8. And we are looking at continental affairs before we come at home, before we deal with issues at home. We are looking at continental affairs in terms of security, and also in terms of, protection of citizens. It was indicated that that side of South Africa, South Africa has deployed 2,200 soldiers as one of the attempt to fight gang violence in Cape Flats, and they will be able to engage on this this content, particularly after a few seconds of the short commercial break. Let us look at NRSC and come back shortly.
This Easter, the road chooses no favorites, and someone is waiting for you at home. So ask yourself before you drive, is your speed worth a ticket? Are your tires safe? Can you be seen? And are you sober enough? Make the right choice and respect the road rules this Easter holiday. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Easter's cheaper with extra low prices at Furman Brock. Get 2 kg Tastic Rice for $36.99. A 2-litre Coca-Cola for only $21.99. 2 kg Sunlight Hand or Auto Washing Powder for $54.99. And 9 Twin Saver 2-ply Toilet Rolls for only $69.99. Hop on over to furmanbrock.com to see more Easter bargains at WB. We care.
Yeah, it is indicated that the South African Authority has deployed 2,200 soldiers in Cape Flats, especially as an attempt to fight the gang violence. So to understand that when it comes to criminality of, criminal activities which are happening in South Africa, realize that all the police units, either is TRT, that used to be praised by, South African police ministers, especially at that time of Barura, to say when we send you TRT, when we send you armed barracks, whether you are a hardcore criminal, we have to bring you to authority. But you also realize that criminals now, they are not operating gun to guns. They are also having, sophisticated weapons, and they also understand those operations. And you also find out that in South Africa, when it comes to criminal activities, these guys, they have money to that extent. They even recruit your top police officers, and things become so, out of order. That's why they stated that when you look at the case of South Africa, South African soldiers move into gang-ridden Cape Town township on Wednesday. As again, two people were killed in fresh violence nearly 50 days after the president ordered, the deployment of troops in, criminal-prone or crime-prone areas. And, it's interesting to see. It's interesting to see that with the advancement in terms of development of the countries, you realize to say, when it comes to criminal activities, people are using alternatives to say, no, let us also be able to deploy soldiers that can assist, because things can get tough. And the cooperation and also sharing of intelligence or sharing of the technical know-how can be able to assist in putting these crime rates down. And also to look at the context of utilization of what you have, because things needs additional technical assistance. And one of the things that you also need to ask yourself is that if South Africa is able to utilize the capacity of their military, especially into fighting crimes, what lesson are we learning? Because one thing that came out very clear, especially although it has been there, is that you can't have a thriving economy without the security of your own, country, security of property, security of people. And you also ask yourself a question to say, in Namibia, are we really winning the fight against crime? Are we really winning that fight? Because what people don't speak about, what people don't discuss, is that, there are fresh cases like what happened in Okahanja, and people are moving on like nothing else. Very young children, not even 10 years, they just got killed by nobody. And it took head of state to move to Okahanja and speak, to say, no, we put this, we take a curfew. And Kanja was is, you know, under control for a certain period of time. Then the question that you're asking yourself is that, are we really going to see the finalization of these cases, or we are still going to live with those dark moments in the history of our lives? And do we have capacity? Do we have people that can really investigate critical cases and that can really, you know, spare the country out of these traumatic events? Because people can just lost like that. People are very quiet, and when you lost a very young child, that is your next, could be your next, or the person who was supposed to be your next Minister of Finance, or your next Minister of Trade, but I just lost children. And we are saying we are moving. How are we going to deal with that issue? And if it's required deployment of soldiers, or maybe corporations too, to say, can we catch this individual? We have done such waste things. And there is nothing that pain people than investigations are continuing, and we are dealing with the issue, or we have the case under control. There is nothing that really make people feel so pain, so helpless, than to say, you know, the case is being handled, but just losing children like that, and people are just disappearing, especially young people, and you don't know what happened. People disappear in thin air, and things are continuing. And one thing that we need to understand is that the criminality of not only institutions, but also the criminal activities not controlled will not only spare, you know, that who did it not to be caught, but when times goes and goes, these individuals will also start growing big. And when they grow big, they also start to compete with the state. That is why, when you look at what's happening in South Africa now, realize to say, it's not only about not having faith in those who are charged with the responsibility of protecting the country, but also understand that the system is infiltrated. The system has, you know, criminals operating in it. And even when you are going to report the case, you don't know who you are going to report to. But I don't think that is where we want to get to as a very young country with good future. But if we are not able to solve very small cases, if you are not asking those questions to say, where is, how far is the docket? Is the case closed, or investigation are still continuing? And if we are really serious about fighting crimes, we must also be able to weigh to say, if we can spend almost $500,000 to hire somebody from South Africa to come and perform for us, why can't we do the same to hire best investigators from anywhere to come and assist us, and also root out those criminals? Because once we start doing that, then you'll be able to understand that, you know, we have a good and long way to go, especially in terms of fighting crime. Because in SA, Pastor just say no, or deploy if the military can be able to assist in that aspect, then you see what will happen in South Africa moving forward. And before we move on forward, we'll be able also to look at DRC celebrating qualifying to go to World Cup for the first time in more than 5 decades. And we must also be jealous in a very good way to say, when is that dream going to come true, going to World Cup, especially Namibian, team, when is that dream going to come true, even just qualifying and going, because it's still a dream. And you should not even speak about winning an AFCON. Just look at that dream of saying, even qualifying to get to the World Cup. But if a country such as DRC can also be able to win, what is going to stop us to get there? Let us look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to move forward with early morning scoop conversation. And you are not limited to contribute. That's why we are saying we learn from each other. And your contributions are always variable, especially when you engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. The conversation must be driven to the area of not only economic expansion, but also to the area of upliftment of individuals, particularly the downtrodden. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can also be able to continue with the conversation for today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Inovic staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. The eye. Yeah, it's 43 minutes past the hour of 6. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And looking at the aspect of sport, it was stated that Democratic Republic of Congo fans are celebrating a historic World Cup qualification after 52 years. You know, Congo has played the World Cup before, but it has been for a very long time. And it was indicated that after the dramatic victory of DRC 1-0 over Jamaica in extra time during the Intercontinental Playoff in Mexico, it was stated that, it was noted to be one of the biggest achievements, especially for the first time DRC is going to play World Cup under the name Democratic Republic of Congo, because stated that the last time it appeared The tournament was 1974 under the name Zaire. And understand that that was during the time of, I think during the time of Mobutu Seseko. But you look at, but interestingly also, what is also happening? No, as they indicate that football unites people, even citizens in Goma, citizens in war-torn countries, they are celebrating. And, you know, citizens in areas that are captured and also controlled by M23, they are celebrating. And you really realize to say, if you want to build a country, you will never build a country without the happy, energetic young people. And also youthful, even adults, particularly united by sport, because what sport does incredible thing, not only in terms of human thinking, not only in terms of social cohesion, but also in terms of unification of people. Because you realize that the country that is at war and qualified to go to World Cup, look at, go and look at the tweets, and also look at people are celebrating in Goma. People are celebrating in Kivu, especially after they have qualified to go to World Cup. And the question that we should always ask is that what lesson can we learn? And what mistake have we also done in the past? Are we really saying Namibians we are not good with sport and football? Why was it not prioritized? But that should not be the main question. The main question is that is it prioritized now? I see Coach Corin Benjamin is really doing his best. You can see the guy is doing his best. But are the players motivated? Are they given guarantees of the future? Because if I'm playing football for Brave Warriors, but I'm also thinking about where I'm going to get my next meal after this tournament, then I'm not 100% in for the country, if it's like that. But as it has always been stated, particularly when the chief administration, the chief administration officer, especially for Namibia Football Association, has been indicating to say, let us professionalize sport codes. Let us make sure that you know, sport can also be made as a career. And make sure that when you motivate people, when you give people money as a guarantee of the future, people will play without any doubt. But if you have soccer players who are playing and they are not stressed to the point of not able to play, but they are not there 100%. But if we can do that, I think we can do more, especially with uplifting of the sport, because you know, looking at other countries playing World Cup, and we did not even come closer to that. Even when it was here 2010 in South Africa, we're just watching through the fence, and it's quite an embarrassment also watching World Cup through the fence, and you are hearing Jabulani being played outside, just across the river. And you are just watching through the fence, but we did not ask ourselves a question to say, what is that we did really wrong? But let's hope what will happen moving forward. It's not only political communication, it's not only groundbreaking, but we also want to see the openings. Because one thing, and it's also bringing up a lot of doubts also to Namibians, especially when it comes to seeing a real project being revealed, being opened. Especially with sport, because a good intention, a good start must be followed by a good monitoring and evaluation and good results, because young people are still waiting to see how those stadiums are going to be built, how they are going to be revamped, and also how the players are going to be, motivated. Because if DRC, the country that has been at war for a very long time, managed to have a stadium that accepted by FIFA and also CAF, and they can even go and play the World Cup, and Namibia that has been very peaceful for 36 years, that having, you know, a lot of good things when it comes to sport. What did we do wrong? You can go to boxing. You can also go to boxing. You can look at any other sport codes. But they're not denying that our ladies have really been doing well. Either it's the football side or either it's the Desert Jewelry, our netball team. You can see that they've been doing very well. But what can we do to other aspects too? Especially if you want to build sport, you know, want to build not only sport stadium, but also the economy of sport, because when it comes to sport, it's not only about gaining from, you know, the value chain, but there is the whole economy of sport. Either you are making t-shirts, either you are selling at the stadium, either you are, you know, a doctor within that area, either you are a trainer. There is a whole economy of sport that bring a lot of money. Because if you look at England, if you look at Europe, for example, one of the topest in terms of statistics, particularly when it comes to tourism, some people, they go there just to watch, you know, football, especially in that aspect. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the news of Donald Trump, especially when he's... No, he's no more interested in the long war. Because, you also come to realize that this thing of long war also, they may go beyond the expectation. It's actually a good thing to say. Come back to the right, way of doing things and, also be able to look at the communication, particularly, this, week's communication. That's also looking at, Donald Trump, the president of, for the free world. President of the United States of America, where he is indicating that, you know, when it comes to the war in Iran, he may be willing to pull out even if the Strait of Hormuz is closed. And I think that is also, you know, sometimes you need to accept that things are not always going to come out. And there is a lot of things that we should learn from this. It's not only about who is winning and who is not winning, but it's also about the decisions that we are making, our decision to say. Sometimes you can really make a decision that when you think about it, you say, no. This is economically draining. This is economically putting me down. But if I have to take out my ego and my thinking that I've put there before, I think you can come to this and say, no. It's economically costing. Because I can't keep firing a third missile, which is cost over $1 million, to take down something that is just made of $15,000. It's not making any sense. I may be superpower, but economically I'm losing. And also politically too. And one thing also about politicians, they are very good survivors. They read the situation before you read it. They can also see the future, especially what people are thinking, what people are saying, then they'll be able to survive too. There is the situation to say politically, they may go down, but in this aspect, they can also change, you know, the way people look at it to say no, when it's come to the Middle East war. And my question is that, also to say, if that war come to an end without end game, so it's also going to be very dangerous for the Middle East. It's also going to be very dangerous too. Because if you pull out now also, without an end game, without a good negotiation, or it's going to be like what happened in Afghanistan, like just take down 1,000 of your army, and you leave people there hanging. I think it's going to be very dangerous also, even to the people that are in Iran, especially those who are against the regime. I don't think the current leader will take that lightly. And in the Muslim world, and also the operation, is the punishment in most cases. The punishment is that you know, they will, you know, not really take you to prison. The punishment in most cases is death by hanging, especially if you are against the state. You are against that aspect because you start a war, you end it in an unfashionable way. Then what will happen to people that put themselves in the line? And it's going to be very difficult. So we're also going to see if that of which is being presented happened. What also happened to the future of that military power and also having bases in the Middle East. And will Iran also accept it? Because also this is going to cause panic, the rebuilding of weapons. And Iran will enter the superpower world. And it's not going to be easy. But let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the communique, especially from United States of America, where Donald Trump indicating that when it comes to this war, I think there will be another way of dealing with it. Is when, the question is when, is how, and what is the long term. It's going to be another Iraq. It's going to be another another Libya. Or there is endgame on that. And what people don't ask is, people forget about Maduro. People forget about Maduro. How is he? The whole president being snatched from his own bedroom by military power. And when people wake up, he's already in America. Which is not only an embarrassment to those who protect him, but it's also brought a lot of fear to the world to say, if that can happen to Maduro, what make you special that it may not happen to you? But what the question should always be to say, what lesson do you learn from this case? So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to look at the conversation. And remember, today we will be speaking about institutional coherence, particularly looking at the case study of the Ministry of Works and Transport, particularly when it comes to project completion and also issues of delaying progress, and also issues of implementing timely and on cost projects, because those who have seen who have been within the system understand that in most cases the actual money presented on the project is not the money that will be used to finalize the project. You will find out that there's always additional budget, and you're asking yourself to say, what's really happening? And if you want to say that we are not doing things right, was there any case where there was actual project money, then the project was completed within that actual project money, then some money was sent back, or everything have to be finished? Then you realize that things are not always right. It's like those days you are sent and buy bread, and I think a lot of young people did it, and your parents did not ask you for a change. Then she will be able to ask you that change the next day when he's going to send you to buy bread again. But you already know that you bought sweets, you are given $20, go buy bread, and you know bread is home. But the change, you did not speak about it. We can also look at it at the projects to say, do these projects developmental projects, are they completed within the given cost within that zone, or is always an addition to say, no, we need more money? And who is at the center of that? That should always really be the center of accountability and also issues of governance. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to continue the conversation, especially when you are going to look at Donald Trump, his communique, and also the issue of Middle East.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who no, does not have capacity to build? Why?
If you lost your show, all of that you could Oma wa o tomono okojako NHP. Genge wa longi fire longi foli lipedu lo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa washi mali wa oshosha kupako. Washika wet gelwa komto alando ako. Kashi, koma punglo e na shano unjolo welewe. Otodulu okulongi fa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko, opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oi mali wa ishona. Oyo hodulu okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, oma ya kulo olu hapu, haka laina kwa telwa, mowa we kwa folo elo unamiti. Ile, oto julu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwedi donumba, toka laino futa e ya kulo lo elo unamiti. Kuhuya lele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
You give a tender to somebody who no, does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia is not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of its
staff.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi minawa. Nune udo otukwetira o speciala getashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes past the hour 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And looking at the case of the United States of America and also the Middle East war, it was stated that when it comes to the assessment which was done, especially with the administration of U.S. President Trump, it's indicated that the U.S. President Trump has told his aide that he's willing to end the war. He's willing to end U.S.-Israel war with Iran, even if the Strait of Hormuz remain largely closed. And that was also reported by Wall Street Journal. And also there are some indication to say, in that context, Trump and his aide has recently assessed that mission to pre-open the crucial global energy waterway would push the war with Iran beyond his timeline of 4 to 6 weeks. And that was stated. And if you also listen and also look at the press secretary of White House, that is Caroline Reavita. She indicated that when it comes to the war in Iran, when it comes to the war in Iran, it could come to an end even without the opening of the Strait of Hormuz. But the focus now is to obliterate and demolish the military apparatus of Iran and also the navy. And that is what is happening. But there should also be a question of the aftermath and also the end game of the war. Because if you start a brutal fight and you don't end it well, it will also backfire. Because I remember the other time, I think 1 month ago, and the Taliban in Afghanistan, they were also asked by US to return their military base, and they said, no, it's not going to happen. You left it for us, and you must stay where you are. And you also realize that when you bring the fight, mid-fight, not to the conclusion, not diplomatically agreement, then you realize that it's going to be quite difficult, particularly moving forward. But you know, somebody who interested me in this conversation, if you look at the spokesperson of the White House, or the press secretary for White House, Caroline Reavita, to me, I think she is a professional, and it's a very young lady. It's a very, very young lady, not even 30 years old. And she's handling stuffs in among global crisis. She's there at the center and communicating, and you can really see that the world is changing, because the USA is not like many countries. That is a very powerful country, but if you have somebody who is handling information at the age of 28 and is at the center of global power, you can really see that talent is there. Whatever happened is talent is there. There are people. It's a very young person who is at the center of communication, and you are just asking yourself a question: How does she deal with complicated issues? But you must also be able to understand that the world is really changing, because history is indicating to you that age and also ability to do things, the gap is becoming narrow. The gap is becoming narrow, because as it has always been stated, to say age and wisdom is coming, or age and ability to do things, then you realize to say that in Namibia we also have a history of putting youngest ministers, youngest parliamentarian, but after 3 to 4 years you realize to say that they adapt very well, and they start operating almost even better than people that we thought really they are old enough or they have experience. And you realize to say since the 21st century there's a lot of surprises. But interesting case study, the spokesperson of the White House, a very young lady who is handling all communication and who is also at the center of that communication, and what is happening. So let us look at the short commercial break, then from there we'll look at the case of accountability, the case of institutional coherence, and also the case of completion of developmental project in Namibia, and also ask yourself a question to say how many projects were completed within the actual amount, and why is the minister frustrated, or why is the minister also concerned, especially when it comes to inflation of projects finance, and also issues of accountability. and institutional coherence, because we have a lot of good institutions with good names, but are they coherent? Are they working together? Or they are contradicting each other? You find people at the same meeting with institutions that were supposed to be coherent institutions, and the way they are communicating, you start to see. You'll be able to see it when you are in the media, to say, no, these guys, were they not supposed to be in the same line? Why are they speaking about the same thing? And they are speaking about a different institution. Or why one institution is moving in this direction, the other one is moving in this direction. If you want to see institutional coherence, and look at international delegations with key issues, either it's investment, either it's climate, then you start asking yourself a question to say, who is heading this delegation? Who is representing who? Say, no, yes, it could be. But you also realize to say, institutions, institutional coherence, and also achieving what needs to be done. There is quite a relations, especially when you want to achieve one goal, but you have two or three institutions which are not cooperating. But we'll look at that, expand on that, particularly in the case of project completion, project evaluation, and also timely, and also on cost the project, and move forward. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to...
Morning.
Yes, Uncle.
Yes, how are you?
With yourself, man.
I'm well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, when it comes to institutional coherence, that is exactly how it was created by the apartheid, by the colonial apartheid regime. Take, for instance, in Namibia, Transnamib and Nampot. See, that was designed like that, in Telecom. So, those are the institutions that were holding the country at the time. So if you want now, in terms of transportation, on the road and the rail, on the road there is those Transnamib tracks, and the railway, the Transnamib is there, the railway is there. When you have to see Namport is there, when it comes to this courier thing and the telecommunication services, and you know, it was, you can see these things used to do business. They used to do business among themselves. You can even see in the general public, we're using this service. Now, look at what happened. When we took over, we do this reform. People started doing business inside there. And that is the cost.
It's true.
That is the cost. Or that is the reason even why the Namibian collapse.
People are not more focusing on why they went there. They are doing their own business.
Look, if you know already that you in terms of transport and logistics, and like a Transnamib employer, why again you have to use the private net?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
That's how we kill that economy. That's how we kill those institutions. That's how exactly we kill those institutions. Simple mathematics. There was nothing.
And one thing which I've also seen is that the issue that we were discussing, was it yesterday when we speak about, you know, state to have their functioning institution. And the Negundi said, no, look, we want the dividends. You guys must make profit. I was talking to board members of all these two institutions to say, there were even people who were saying, no, RCC must go. But how can you have a state institution that was supposed to head developmental project then when you want it to go. But just hold on. We can come back shortly.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM, let you express your...
Let's continue. And what I was indicating is that it's also to have the state in business, but profitable business. That is that was the conversation to say there's no way. There were people who were saying RCC must go, but there's no way that we are taking all the institutions down, even those who are supposed to handle major projects. And exactly what you say, to say governance must be at the center of all these things. Just put your house together. And it was a good conversation to me. I really have seen that in terms of speaking, it was good. I don't know how what will happen moving forward, but it was a good thing.
You know, man, the country has a good foundation.
Yeah.
But then the weak is the foundation that kills it. Because we were supposed to, you know, by the time we could have moved away from that foundation, even after 50 years of independence, we were supposed to go with that model. Because that was the model which was known by everybody. Look, even the road, as you see, Koja Kutoka Stindimo. What was at the center of the thing? It was the Minister of Work and Transport. Now, when you see now government institutions that are just dilapidating and the infrastructure that are dilapidating, it's because of that. Because back then, Minister of Work and Transport has everything, all the actions that you can, and the engineers, they were there.
And the quality of things that still remain is also showing you.
Yeah, but the problem, that's why we said, we never see what is happening in the global economy in terms of terrorism. Did you know that, when the whites, because the whites, they were the ones who were running these things themselves. They were in charge of the government, they were the one. Now, when they move out, there was also, you know, that system also came at the time when to decolonize Africa, to say, look, the natives must be given their own independence. But they were also asking themselves politically to say, look, what are we going to do with the nationalists now? Those who want to compete with us. Those who doesn't want to accept our system of governance and everything.
Yeah.
So those who want to continue protecting their natural resources and like that. So what happened? But on the economy there and the tribe there, these guys, they were coming with this this thing of that, to say outsourcing. Why the politicians were discussing that issue here, so that they come up with a democracy, that franchise system of democracy. On the other hand, they say, when you are moving out of the system, because these guys are going to push you out. Most of the white people run away and whatever, they will just push out of the just to accommodate the black. But they go with all the skills and everything. You understand?
It
was a term of outsourcing. That concept was to come in. They adopted.
If you want to provoke somebody, just ask a question to say, what good things have we learned from apartheid government? People, if you just ask that question, somebody who can think beyond that can answer you to say there are a lot of, not all, but there are things that you can learn from apartheid, even in terms of, design, in terms of, maybe operational ways. There are a lot of things that you can learn from that. But if you ask anybody, people will fight you on that.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
This is not politics. Yeah. This is just a truth.
Yeah.
That's just painful truth that yeah. they, like myself, say, so very little on Dangwa.
Yeah.
Who they,
yeah.
Ask me, I know how Ondangwa was before. And I know the Ondangwa airport, how it was. And I know Ondangwa military, based on how it was during the war. Look at it now. Go there now and see what is going on. And even the old Ondangwa is like an almost a ghost town. That was just a green a gardenish town. Why make would make green coupon and no marketing vendor come? The old Ondangwa, it was a very nice thing. Now when the fellow took over and they start staying in those houses, what happened? You still have that mentality of no, this is a painful truth. You can hate me for it, but
no. I hear you. Because that comparison will really assist us to build.
Tara, the problem now, the fellows, they don't want the truth. And the problem with that, on Damba Airport, that was the very nice government infrastructure. It has nothing to do with. Of course, we know it was used to for military thing to But I'm telling you, in terms of the structure, everything was super. Just go in there now. Look.
Yeah.
That's why we are saying there. The only thing that source, if you see how a RCC equipment was bought. Did you know that those guys, when the outsourcing concept was coming in Namibia, the outsourcing has been already maybe in force outside the world there. Maybe for 50 years. But these guys, they don't know. Or 30 years. It was already in the market. Now, when it was now country getting independence, maybe it was introduced because they were told, you guys, you don't have capacity. You have to start outsourcing. It is out of outsourcing that gives birth to the tender process.
No, it's true. And you just realize, once you start learning, you realize that when it comes to project, there's actually a lot of things, and people can find any very small loophole just to delay that thing to happen.
You know, the problem that I have with the fellows is just to say, when they see state money, to them it's just a free money. And it's not accountability.
There's no accountability. There's no,
They can increase the price. They will, me, I don't care whether you are eating money or what, but do the way.
And the other thing is also, was there any project that was completed? I want to see, I don't have data with me. Was there any project that was completed within the amount presented? Or is only the question of we need more money? Because that can already tell you to say there's no way.
When we are asking this question, these are academic questions. These are the things we're supposed to be given to. That's why even we are not even teaching our kids at school just to analyze. These are the problems. Did you know that these are the really problems that are facing the country? But at the end of the day, they are not being at the academic level.
It's a good observation. It's a good observation.
How can you find a solution to it?
But I also want to ask, especially from the governance point of view, what do you think about board members and the power of a minister? Do you really think that when it comes to the level of making things working, Can I instruct somebody really to do the job very well? Because sometimes you see that even you find a CEO who say, no, me, I'm not listening to you because there's a political backing somewhere else. There was a situation where, I'm not going to mention a name, but there was a situation where a certain minister came to power and he said that he gave one CEO, I think, 6 months to resign. Then what happened is that minister was moved from that ministry to the other.
What do you think about that aspect of governance, particularly minister, board members, and institutions?
You know, fundamentally, there is nothing with the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a kind of a check and balance. The problem is when we are politicizing that thing.
When
we always add politics to it. Then politics is lawyer. It's not performance. You understand? It's performance. It's not governance. It's lawyer, man. That's why at the end of the day, even when they also appointed, and the other issue is to say, look, you know what is happening from even local authority point of view. Look, you know when before the council coming in, they already have, they used to know what is going on there through grapevine and what, and they already target people before they come in.
Mm-hmm.
When they come in, they already know, because they know we want to remove who must go. When they come in, they start already fighting.
they
start already fighting, my friend. Even if they did not even accord that person an opportunity, not to ask, just to assess the person, how the person is working.
It's already war.
It's a war. That's why you see in Naroka story, there is always a conflict.
But
that is where the problem is. It's because these people have already, and I always tell them, you guys are just playing politics. But you know, before you were councillors, they were already councillors. Where are they?
It's a good question.
They're in the street. So, why do you think you are permanent here when you are, instead of working, you are just fighting? By the time they realize that they are supposed to, because for them, some of them, they have no clue of a local governance. They were supposed now to learn. By the time they come in, they're just there fighting. They never even learn anything at the end of the day. They are out.
By the time you start the training, then you have 1 month to go.
Yes. People, they are already marked. Even with the board of directors, it's the same. When they come in, they already mark who and who in that company to be removed. Yes.
Are you agreeing with me that South Africa did well with their ESCOM? They put fresh people there. They said, no, KEDA deployment, you know, took us into a very dangerous area. Then things were functioning. No, they put new people in, and I think that's the best thing they did. They said, no, we want somebody who is not not ANC. He can be ANC, but he's not a political guy. Somebody who work at the international institution and come and lead this thing.
If you have seen that as far as South Africa and Namibia, we are almost the same. You must also see the level of political South Africa. It's beyond the liberation struggle.
Liberation
struggle. That's why South African issues are beyond politics. There are things that it's beyond politics. You understand
now? I hear you.
Because South Africa can politics, they are beyond the liberation. Like in Namibia, everything is centered around the liberation struggle.
But are we growing? Is the democracy growing?
No, we are not, because we are still in a nutshell of liberation struggle. We have to move out. That's why you everything just all the mind we just liberation struggle. And when you see people are fighting, we did not get our money, what is the benefit, comrades, we are supposed to get this, we were what, we let be promoted, let's be given tenders, everything. That one was not in Tanganyika, that one is it's a perfect thing. Look, that is the conversation that we have.
No, and you know, I think stuck into history can also be problematic sometimes if we are not looking into the future, because yes, foundation, everybody knows about it, but if we are still going back, I think we will not
will not get it right.
At the moment, like, we start thinking beyond. Mm-hmm. You know now, at the political level.
Just hold on, then we can come and just hold on.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do. With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it. The view.
Okay, I want 2 points from you, because yesterday I was shocked, because the minister surprised me. Because he was talking straight to both members, all these companies, to say, guys, you are not in competition, work together, but upgrade your ethical standard. Give me my reports within 30 days. And he was pointing out, he know everything was going on. And one thing that he has also mentioned is the issue of pricing, to say, if you will just move 1 cent above, we are coming for you. This, to me, is showing that there have been a lot of things that maybe he was not happy with, or maybe that he have seen. Are you seeing that as a political statement, or there is a deliberate intention, or you are also seeing that as maybe one move toward improvement, particularly looking at the developmental contracts?
Look, we have good intention, all of us, citizens.
Yeah.
But the practicality part of it is the one that is kicking us. Look, the same thing that is hunting the parastatal is the same thing that is hunting the local authority. Mm-hmm. Because they were all given the mandate by the state to generate revenue. But they are always looking at the central government to be better out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. That's why even when you see that time, we have also to give a bit. I have also to like to thank also Ms. Sophia Shanyumba when he was the Minister of Urban. She's the only one who put end to the up and down suspension of the soil. We have to fight for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
She was give the support, and that's why I really sometimes, you know, like her leadership.
No, she if she come to a place, things will fall and
back then, the suspension of the CEO in the local authority and also in the parastatal, it was everywhere.
People are fighting.
When the CEO differ with politicians and with the board of directors,
they push you.
Anything is suspension. Then you see the person is going to be reinstated, or he was not found guilty of anything.
Court cases.
The company has to pay. When they pay, whose money is that? It's not for the body of the election or whatever. That's why we were supposed to say, no, look, what? And I have asked myself this question, to say, look, if you have now suspended the person to be realized that the person was not found guilty, the people who initiated the process were supposed to be charged, to be held accountable.
What are you looking at?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
And this is what also handling the governance now of this public institution. You find apparently the police went there to charge, to arrest a person, and this procedure were not followed. But they were supposed to be held accountable for that.
Why are you not following that? Yeah, it's true. And some people, they even, you know, identify people's name when somebody come to, when we take content of somebody arrested, then you find the person is already out. Then you also find out that the case was not really a good case, but you look at the reputation, the professionalism of this person. It's a good thing.
Don't go far. Just go to Hungary there. He's trying to sue the state now. What is the issue? What is going to... Apparently, the arrest was not what to do, the case was what. That's why if you are not starting punishing the people who are sometimes... you know, the state has already spent money.
And to me, I also thought, no, that guy was not really fairly treated. I think he was crucified. Also, I look at that case. I don't know it deeply, but I also see that no, something is not correct. It's not correct.
We wanted people to pursue personal issue using state institution. That's what we want to prevent. Because if you are given the law, then you are not doing the law as it says. And a lot of people, they are also hiding behind to say, look, they were performing on behalf of the institution. But the law of the institution is very clear. If you did not follow why that is your honor. You understand?
I also want to provoke somebody to say, let's give a scenario that, for example, the case is thrown away and he was not found of doing anything that is out of order. And then you look at what will happen now, like the question that he was to say, what about those who acted there? And he's going to get his political benefit again? Let me just put it that way. In the case that it was a created thing and all these things, just for example, to say, yes, the judge can go and read. And say, no, you guys, these things, we can just throw it away, or the guy must be paid his money, he did not, nothing happened, what? Will he get his political benefit again? Or we are just going to say, no, we are sorry, go home.
Yeah.
It's a painful thing, yeah.
That's why we say that we also need to say it must be a sword, it's a two-sided conduct.
Yeah.
When you initiate and you fail, then you face the consequence. If you won, then the other person also, because in the process there is also a character assassination. You understand?
I hear you.
By the name of somebody, somebody has lost. The image of the person has been destroyed. You understand? At the end of the day, you go for free. You are still getting your salary. You are going to what? You achieve your political what? You get the tender that you wanted by pushing the person aside.
And one thing I've also seen is that thing is also psychological. People don't think about because men, we are going through a lot of things. That thing can also be psychological. You only think about a person's reputation, profession, but you don't know what a person can also go through, because you can be crucified there. And but you just did not do anything. And your name, we speak about Lazarus everywhere, but you just say, no, you go home.
Yeah, but you are saying, the same thing that is hunting the parasitas is the same thing that is hunting the rogar, sorry. It's the same. They all, they were all created to do business on behalf of the state, because the state itself cannot do this. You understand?
But let's...
Look, the state cannot do business with itself. That's why they have those now state-owned enterprise. When you see in Russia those years, this institution were belonging to the state. But when they have to reform, they have to give away some of this institution to private people to run them.
The
oligarchs. On behalf of the state. On behalf of the state. But it was not done just. You have to give it a time period. That's why I said that we could have do these things after, 50 years of independence or 60 years of independence. We were now supposed to say, now we have built enough capacity and what to let the state stay away. And you just evaluate performance. But the problem is, I'm saying, our people, when they see state money, for them it's a free money.
Okay. Lastly,
I just want to touch on Namibia. They want to revive it, but I'm telling you, up to now, I never had any saying to say that these are the lessons that we learned from the failure on the success.
Do we have a plan? Maybe they have a new plan.
That's what I said. You know why we are failing?
Yeah.
We are failing because there's a certain group of people who are sitting in the boardroom and they are the one who are making a decision. Let's revive it. But again, we must learn to say, let's start giving this to students. everybody in the society.
Yeah.
And one of the problem why a Namibian was liquidated or made bankrupt, and it's not said. You know what is it?
Yeah.
They never tell you that the ministers, the government officials and the ministry, they used to use the services of Transnamib. And they are not paying. Have you addressed that issue? We never addressed that issue. And it was not even spoken. That's why if we go in now to say, look, how many, in their book to say, look, how many ministry and government officials that, oh, in Namibia. It's the same to say with the local authority where you have a government institution that are using the service of the municipality, they are not paying, even if they budget, they have a utility budget for it.
And Tazawasa was very angry. And you know, sometimes it's also complicated to say you are calling people to order, but you are not in order. Why are they not even paying if it's not your money? Why can't you just pay? It's not even the money that you, it's not private sector, that one. Why are you not paying?
Let me tell you, every minister, my friend, they always have a utility budget to pay the electricity, water, everything, municipal services, they have that budget. They always budget for it. But they are not even when the Namibia was also in place, even up to now, they still have budget for transport like airplanes. Because there are still, you see, they are using Air Link or whatever, Air Namibia, what that private thing. They have budget for it. Maybe they are paying because that one is a private. But when it was Air Namibia,
it was a free ticket. Let's continue the conversation.
Let me conclude to say, that's why I said that. What I want to see is them to come and to say, this is the research was conducted because in Namibia. Well, this is what we learn, and this is what we learn, the bad and the good. So that they must also go to the university, especially that one, to say, look, how, where is the failure coming from? And how many times Namibia was very out? My dear. Many times. But we are saying the problem was just one. Now the minister sometimes has to bury out also local authority. Why? It's the same thing to say people, they are not the service that have been given to the public. The public institution are not paying.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That is a conversation. It's a hard one to say. If you fail to act, we'll also be held accountable for you not acting. And also to say, when we understand governance issues and when we understand that state funds is not free money, maybe we'll be able also to have that patriotism in us to say this is what need to be done. And also to look at it. And it's actually a very good point to look at what have happened. Because if you understand what have happened, if you have a very strong report of why things did not work, if you have a very strong report on why there's always tender inflation, why there's always, additional fundings, why financial reports are not brought on time. If you have that background, then we can see the future. Because there might be a lot of things in the line, especially when you have state funds. China did it very well. Their prostatals are all over the world. And they are doing very well. And the minister have stated a very strong point to say, no, you can't have a state without, a contracting company that is dealing with building of infrastructure. And people must get their house in order. But, in Namibia, there is always something that we still want to see, to say, who is sabotaging our development? If we have good intention, we have well-educated people, but the results are not coming out as we want them to come out. Why are we, ask yourself a question, why are we here? And, nobody can lecture anybody about development. We cannot say we are not appreciating what we see. But are we where we were supposed to be? And who's sabotaging
the development. Same question that we ask also with BON to say, a well-functioning central bank, which achieved almost 100% of its target, and the economy is moving at the other direction. Who is sabotaging that? Because if we ask ourselves that question, we may find out that there might be a problem that we need to fix. The one thing is education institution. Research and institutional research, they are very important. The countries thrive well based on research and new data because things are going out. By the time you are done with your MBA on governance and on MBA on the restructuring institutions, there are already new systems that are in the system that you also need to go and study. But when it comes to institutional research, to say what is the capacity of, and you can ask the same question to say what is the capacity of institutional research of works and transport to say where was the problem? What happened 10 years? Where was the problem? What actually money was presented there? How many people ask for a raise in terms of, additional funds for projects, and how many did not do that? So let's look at the caller. Morning.
Morning, Mr. Shombe.
Yes, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm good.
I don't know why my system, I think I have credit, but I don't know why it's not, or maybe it's finished, I don't know, maybe the... That's why I think I was cut off from yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that you are here this time.
Mm-hmm.
And should be bringing in some topical issues.
Mm.
That affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Could be the geopolitics.
Mm.
I am also following those other issues.
Yeah.
Especially the war in Iran and, U.S. and Israel attack. Because that is the starting point.
Mm.
And, of course, people are trying to engage in negotiation.
Yeah.
So that there shouldn't be some kind of bias. I see now Russia also holding some meeting with U.S. top officials.
Mm.
And they are also now busy getting into the negotiation with those Pakistan and others.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think those are the players in the China. Those are the players who will definitely bring facilitate this lasting peace that we are all hoping for. And perhaps I know that you might have touched also. What is it? Maybe just ask me two few things, man, to interact for 2 minutes. Yeah, but what I know is that I'm hoping that the things will stabilize very soon.
Yeah, and the who? Trump is saying it's also that he does not want this long war. It's not good for business.
He knows already.
Yeah.
That's why they, from the beginning, they have been saying, the Americans just to come and bomb you, bomb, they run away.
But this
time around, I think because of the lot of pressure also on him, and the disgrace also, you understand?
Yeah, but there's also a thing to say, these military analysts are also indicating to say sometimes the communication is based on the economic standing, because when you analyze the speech during the weekend, because they are saying they are also playing with, the Wall Street, especially in terms of market, to realize to say we bomb in the weekend. And we talk about peace during the week because it will not affect the market. It's a lot of things, because I'm also not seeing that coming to an end soon, because you have a deployment of thousands of soldiers in the Middle East already now. And that is not deterrence. Those guys are ready to go and fight.
They have already started the battle and been raging on those ground troops. And I think this is where now I see that it might bring the war and the negotiation, tangible negotiation.
Mm.
Because if you now dictate your terms and conditions to those people that you have already killed and things like that,
yeah,
and you are preaching the same thing, and the other people are the whole, you know, the, even the powerful ones.
Mm.
Very soon you start crashing with them. But, I know that they have, he had allowed the Russian ships to give assistance, the solidarity to Cuba.
No, it was not allowed by anybody. Russia just decided to go and assist. To say we are
serious. Yeah. But Trump said that, if they are giving Cuba support, fine, it's okay. We cannot interfere. But last time he was... So he's just changing his language and contradicting himself.
Russia just decided to say, no, we are going to support Cuba. We are sending our ship there, but it's also armed. Because in case of a situation arise, we see what we can do. No, it's a war of insecurity. You can't just send the... It's not a word for transportation, this one. It can even be seized. even pirates now are active because there's not enough oil anymore. It's an opportunity to them to seize all those small tanks. You can lose it now because the market, people, what you also need to look at is that the Strait of Hormuz is not the only source of oil. But removing that 20% out of the global market is a big gap.
You see, and that's what they are saying. Yeah. They say that if they remove that, if they block completely that thing. So it means that the shipping and all this
that's a very big gap.
That will now come and pass through South Africa.
Mm.
You can imagine the roads, the long ones, and all this kind of inconvenience.
And on your way there, there are also people with not good intention. They can also pick them up. There are those who like to harvest
them.
They can harvest what they did not sow.
So that is going to be serious. The pirates and all these other things will now start increasing. And some of those drones that you were talking about, it's just a dangerous kind of situation that Mr. Trump and Netanyahu have created.
But it's not only about Netanyahu and Trump. It's also about the decision that we take. Because when I look at this, why I'm saying it's not really about war. It's about a political decision. Because sometimes you really see that this person is pushing a wrong agenda, and you are just clapping hands instead of advising a person. Come again?
I think for Trump, they have been advising him.
But they are also trying to not contradict him, because he's a debater. He's a kind of guy that can take an advice without looking at it really and say, no, why can't we do that?
Okay, so is that not dictatorship?
No, I think it's not dictatorship. It's a character of a person, because remember, he's built by business, background. He's a business guy. He has been winning a lot of deals. You know, Trump wrote books and he was a good guy on TV all those years. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand that one. Those qualities, disputing the quality that he has, the character, that moral character of war that has been his thing. Even if you were making money, I think that was good to build the economy. But now that you want to, because I think, I don't know whether the constitutionalism there, constitutionality, that gives them those kind of limits now to violate the rights of the people. And I think if it's not, I understand, maybe they in their own constitution.
Yeah.
Because a lot of scholars, they're talking about maybe the rights that are incorporated into their constitution.
Mm.
are maybe enumerated, kind of listed.
Mm.
And if you list them, then what about those ones that are outside the parameter of this constitution and the Bureau of Rights?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that the check and balance there to limit this kind of leadership is lacking that side. But we are embracing those kind of things, you know.
Mm.
I don't know whether our rights here are also listed. Maybe they could be those outside the constitution. And those statutory provisions.
Indeed.
If there are those ones, then that's where you have a problem. And I don't think in most of this our constitution, for those African countries who have just transition to democracy. That their constitution seem to be. So let's perfect those kind of, and review, and I'm sure that those Americans, I think they are not giving us a good example at all. So anyway, it's okay. We can continue. Let me get connected immediately.
Thank you.
And then continue listening. I know your research is always rich.
No.
And it build us so much, actually. And did you attend the journalism thing that you were contacted, hosted in Windhoek there?
Which so one?
They are now talking seriously to a sanctuary for journalists.
Well, it's about what?
It was actually just for you to tell, that you're able to tell this financial data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that they can make more simplify them to us. So it was actually, I think, sponsored by GIPF. GIPF.
But you know, the interesting thing which happened there also, ne, is that, and I think, I don't know, it's a professional thing. What happened there is that, I've asked a question with, one lecturer from VETS who came and gave a presentation. I asked a question to say, but you know, it's very difficult sometimes to interpret, financial and economic, affairs, because you read the statement, then after you go deep, you realize to say, these guys are hiding information. You know, she said, yeah, I know. It's because with her, she was a financial journalist. She was also working in corporate. To say, no, people spend even 2 weeks trying to cook. It's not hiding, but trying to find a good way of presenting bad results. And you see it everywhere. And it's very difficult, especially to Namibians who don't read. You go to a certain event, people are clapping hands just because of that well-crafted diplomatic speech that is not saying even anything. It's true. It's true. That is saying the economy is worse, but you are just clapping hands because they say there is progress being seen on both sides and we have the document. But it's interesting to see. But I was also shocked because I realized that, it's not right. Sometimes if you are not doing well, speak out so you can get help.
You know what my suggestion is?
Yeah.
My suggestion is that I remember there was also a concern from Minister Emma Tioferus, Honorable Minister Tioferus, that most of the workshops are becoming ineffective.
Yeah.
And I realized that many a times those things are done cross-door, board meeting. Mm. The journalists are not there to pick up information and question. I realized that journalism it's something very, very critical because they really ask critical questions, very uncommon questions.
Yeah.
And many a times those meetings, we don't see them there. So, and I know that maybe most of the ministries, and those stakeholders, they should be all the time inviting, the journalists. And I know they have the liaison officers and all these other things. And many other ministries, they have liaison officers in every community. And every thing, especially I'm now talking about the Ministry of Gender where I worked. So I think it's just important that so that the information, a lot of information, and the many other things, like you really digest those kind of things like you are saying. Maybe they are not also coming out. And then the speech and speech, we are reading them, is true.
Yeah.
So maybe you need to decentralize yourself as well. so that you can create some positions and other things and see every ministry or stakeholder, state, whatever organization holding a meeting. So you should be there and they ask them questions and things like that. What do you think you can be done?
No,
so thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah? Okay, conclude. You must also conclude.
Yeah, yes.
Oh,
thank
but
you.
You're concluding.
Yeah,
okay.
But the conversation continues everywhere.
Yeah, no, we are going to continue it. It's a pity that I missed the conversation there.
No,
this is a class that I have missed already. I become stressed.
You can't be a perfect student. It's not also all right. All right.
Cool.
That will bring us to the end of our conversation, and I'll leave you in the good hands of the Big Mac to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And the conversation must continue, especially if you want to get things right. And come to the reality to say, we put on gear 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we are not reaching our destination. What may it be wrong if the engine is fine, if the fuels are there, if the driver is well qualified? Why are we not reaching the destination? Because today you need to ask yourself a question to say, who is really sabotaging Namibia development? If politicians have good intention, the CEOs are well educated, the board members are more qualified, you have most educated people in the system, but the results are coming, very, very slow. What could be the problem? Because if you find that person, you must also call me to look at who is sabotaging national developmental agenda and who is taking us back where we want to move forward. So, bye-bye. See you around. Shop, shop.